As President Trump's first deputy national security advisor, she helped set standards in the White House. In the Pentagon, she was the equivalent to a four-star general. And now, it's time to set the record straight. It's The Briefing with KT McFarland, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, so glad to have you with us, and so glad to have KT McFarland back with us. She has keen insights on so many, such a wide variety of things, but she also comes at it from a very common sense perspective, and that's what I so appreciate. And KT, I'm grateful that you've been my friend all these years, but that we can have these chats together, because I am of the opinion that if you and I don't have these conversations, I don't know where people turn to get them. And the longer that I do what I do, even in the aftermath of four or five U.S. Supreme Court cases that I'm so happy with some of the outcomes last week from the Supreme Court. I'm like, well, I've been working on that issue for 48 years, and we did it. But there's still a lot to be done, and that's why I'm so grateful. But let me, before we go to international stuff, just as a grandma, as a mom, as someone who has been willing to serve her country in various capacities, who's thought about getting involved in the electoral process, talk to me about that picture from the southern border today with those migrants in the back and the death toll as it continues to climb, and just what that does to you and your heart as an American.
You know, my analysis of it would be at several levels. At one sense, I am just disgusted. You know, as a human being, we have turned over our southern border to human traffickers. And what's the result of that? People are bought and sold and left to die in the desert. And why? Because we just can't seem to summon up the national will to get serious about our southern border. So I'm just horrified that a country that purports to be the great superpower of the world and the moral conscience of the planet somehow is letting these terrible images, you know, these terrible things happening, and we see the images of them every day. So I'm just, you know, all the people in Washington who won't fix this, you know, pox on all your houses, because this is a crime against humanity. But then there's also the political part of it, and I look at that, okay, so why aren't they fixing it? Why don't they get it? I mean, don't they know? Of course they know. They know it's an open border. They know that they're letting in millions of illegal immigrants. So why are they doing that? I mean, do they have some nefarious plan? They're really tricky, Kevin. They think if they let all these people in and then give them citizenship and amnesty and voting rights, all those people are going to be so thankful and grateful to President Obama and the Democrats that they, for the rest of their lives, will vote for the Democrats. In other words, the Democrats think they own the Hispanic vote. Well, you know, they're too smart by half, because if they look at any statistics lately, half of Hispanic voters are voting Republican, and even more are tending to vote Republican. Why? Because they're pro-family voters. They're hard workers. They're people who either own or work for small businesses. Who are those people? Those are the people that the Democrat Party has abandoned. So in their glee and their sort of trickiness and hypocrisy of letting these people into the country, thinking, aha, you know, the American people don't like what we're doing. They're voting us out of office, so we're going to go get new voters who do like what we're doing. Well, you know what? The new voters won't like it any more than the old voters do.
You said on Twitter that China will soon own all of the vital components of all the vital electronic technology that's going to be out there. KT, that's a cheery headline. I'm the takeaway. Well, China's going to own it all, and we are all going to be their serfs, basically. Talk to us about what that means.
All right. So in Congress, the Biden administration and both houses of Congress, they say, well, we're going to fix this. We're going to manufacture microprocessors, chips, they're called. And chips are a vital ingredient of all modern electronics, everything from dog washing machines to your iPhone to your car to your refrigerator. Without chips, none of that stuff works. It turns out that America is very good at inventing them and getting cutting-edge technology, but we don't make them here. We invent them here, but we don't make them here. They're made overseas. They're made primarily in Taiwan and India, increasingly in China. And so what are the Chinese doing about this? They realize the critical importance of chips. So they're putting $150 billion now into manufacturing, trying to create an industry to make and manufacture chips. What are we doing? Well, Congress has decided we're going to spend $50 million to build chips in America. They passed it. Their House and the Senate both passed it last year. But nobody can get together to find common ground on one final piece of legislation for the president to sign. It's the red tape. It's the green energy lobbies. It's all the corrupt congressmen and senators who say, well, I want a piece of that for my district. And so as a result, we're about to go into an August recess. The United States is not spending the amount of money we should be spending. And even then, we're not spending the amount that we say we're going to spend. It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight, but we can't even agree on the knife. So here we are, and it has real-world consequences. So Intel, largest chip maker in America, they said, well, we were going to build a $30 billion plant. We were going to build that plant in Ohio. But because the legislation isn't there, because we don't know what's going on, we have to delay. We can't go ahead and build that. So it's because the people in Congress are so consumed by getting reelected in the next election and what their polling results show them that they're not going to do something that's just essential for the United States.
Iran and the U.S. are at kind of an interesting opportunity here to restart the talks. What are your thoughts on whether they're going to be successful and what they need to do?
Iran's already sick. I mean, they're already breaking any agreements that they've had. They're already cheating on it. De facto agreement that the Obama administration signed. You know, will there be an agreement? Will there be a piece of paper that that countries signed? Maybe, but it won't mean anything. Iran's making nuclear weapons. If you need three things to have a nuclear weapon. You need enriched uranium, which is what this Iran nuclear deal is all about. You need the blueprint to sort of how do you get the nuclear energy and how do you get an explosive device out of that enriched uranium. And you need a missile to deliver it. So Iran is going down their checklist, and they're getting pretty close. I mean, they'll have a nuclear weapon before the end of Joe Biden's term. And when the Biden administration is saying, Joe Biden, well, we're going to have this great Iran nuclear deal, it's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on. And as a result, what's happening in the Middle East? Well, countries like Israel and the Gulf Arabs and Saudi Arabia and others are saying, wait, America, you used to be our friend.
Yeah.
You used to be you were, in fact, the country that helped us get to the Abraham Peace Accords, the most extraordinary agreement between Arabs and Israelis in a couple of thousand years. And yet now you're turning to Iran, nuclear weapons Iran, terrorists supporting Iran, and you're favoring them. Well, where does that leave us? It leaves us not having any interest in helping the United States out of this oil crisis, which we have created ourselves. So when President Biden says he's going to talk to the Saudis about pumping more oil, I don't see it happening.
Well, we've got a lot to keep our eye on, and KT, you're doing a great job. Thank you for your insights today, and our prayers are with those migrants' families on the border, but really the problem is the Biden policies, and they've got to change. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Stay here.